Good morning, world. I'm Gary, and this is the GFCD USA 3D Bible Study coming to you from Australia. And right now, this morning, I'm down in a place called Dubbo in New South Wales. I'm at Gloria's son's place, Ben's place, and it's a lovely, fine day here. We've had rain during the week, but yeah, nice temperature, beautiful day, and it's sunny outside. And I haven't got Gloria with me this morning because she's doing the family stuff with her son and family down here. So I'm kind of flying solo, but I've got Vic and Carmen with me on screen to help me. And I can tell you, I'll need help every little bit I can get. Over to you to introduce yourself, Vic and Carmen.
I'm Victor Saunders, my wonderful wife of 37 years in December, Carmen, and we live in a city called Schererville in the state of Indiana, which is the Midwest section of the United States. We're about 40 minutes south of Lake Michigan, and it's 7, or rather 6 01 p.m. here on Saturday evening, and it's really cold here today. It's I think in the teens and Fahrenheit, and so it's that's why we're I'm kind of rugged up a little bit here, and so I was happy to be with you tonight.
Thanks. Thanks, Vic and Carmen.
Hi, my name is Carmen, and it's a blessing to be here. Thank you, Gary and Gloria, for inviting us. And it's 23 in Indiana, and it says it feels like 11. So that's why you see me with this over here. It's not that I'm trying to look cute, I'm trying to stay warm. So it's a blessing to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Carmen, and thanks, Vic. Yeah, we're in the Southern Hemisphere, so we're in spring at the moment, and all the trees are just coming into flower and all that sort of stuff. It's of particular interest to me because I'm going to take some cuttings from the olive Ben's olive tree, which is producing beautiful olives, and take it home to
Wow.
my place and graft a branch for or some cuttings from his tree into our trees, which haven't borne fruit yet. So we've got good root stock, and I've been doing, looking at all the tu YouTube tutorials and how do you graft. So this is going to be a first for me. So I'm looking forward to it. It'll be fun. Now, this in the introduction, I might have described this as a 3D Bible study. I need to explain to the people what I'm talking about. 3D. If it was just a two-dimensional Bible study, well, it'd just be Vic and Carmen, myself, doing a Bible study. And that's a regular Bible study that you'd normally have. But this Bible study is a little bit different because it involves you guys. And just to differentiate from the people who are on screen, with those of you who are watching from that third dimension, that's what we mean by 3D. And I must apologize because I haven't got Gloria here, so and we're away from home, so I don't have a monitor that I can see who is actually out there watching. But believe me, after the Bible study is over, I will certainly respond to any questions that you might care to ask. Now, if you want to ask your questions publicly, yeah, sure, just put them in the chat below this Bible study. But if you want to keep it private, then email me at gfcd.sozo, S-O-Z-O, at gmail.com. And during the week, before next weekend, when our next Bible study is on, I will make sure that I find time to reply to your emails. I need to say hello to Christiana and to Molly and to Michael and to Dana, who are our regulars who watch us every week. And if I've neglected you, then you can blame me because Gloria normally acknowledges people, and I'm just doing this off the top of my head. I don't have a note list, so. Hi to you. Thank you. We really appreciate you. If you're watching from the USA, or some people actually watch from the UK, and I'm thinking of Pauline. Pauline sometimes is she's a night owl, and she sometimes watches us from the UK. I don't know what time it'd be there. Probably 3 a.m. in the morning. But hi, Pauline, if you're watching. So right now, Vic has kindly offered to open this Bible study with prayer and to lead us through communion. So I'm going to mute myself, and over to you, Vic.
Thank you so much for allowing me to have the honor to do this. What came to mind? I love the way Gloria brings forth testimonies or stories, things that the Lord has placed on her heart, even in the Word of God. And so what came to me was that in Mark, the 16th chapter, it talks about after Jesus resurrected from the tomb. It says that in Mark the 16th chapter, it says, in starting at verse 6 in the New King James, it talks about how it says, but he said to them, do not be alarmed. Let me back up. And entering the tomb, to verse 4. But when they looked, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. And he's not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples, and this was included, and Peter, and that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. Now, to me was, I was saying, Peter is a disciple also. But as everyone knows, in the Bible, it talks about he denied Jesus three times. And so with that said, I'm pretty sure that he felt so bad afterwards, because they said he cried uncontrollably afterwards when Jesus gave him that final look at the praetorium after the cock crowed the third, and so on. And because Jesus had told him, you will deny me. And so sure enough, he did that, and he went and wept uncontrollably. And so I'm pretty sure after he did that, he felt so bad and said, oh my gosh, I failed my Lord Jesus. I failed him. But it's so awesome how the angel here was telling the ladies that they were at the tomb, go to the disciples and Peter. Wow, because of the fact, I'm pretty sure maybe the Lord said, hey, make sure you here's some instruction right here. Make sure you let Peter know that he doesn't have anything to worry about. I told him that he'd be this rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and so on, because of the revelation he had. And so he has a calling on that he's going to bring some wonderful news in the future. And so with that said, a lot of us have made mistakes. Going to John, the 20th chapter, it talks about how Peter and John, whom the disciple loved, ran to the tomb, but John outran him. Now, it's either that maybe John was a little better shape than Peter, or when you're weighed down by the fact that you have failed, it might probably you were dragging your feet and so on. So how many times have that happened to each one of us? You make a mistake, or you say, whatever, a big, huge, major mistake and so on. And then we start condemning ourselves and thinking the Lord doesn't love us anymore, or I'm not worthy of even receiving communion. But Jesus said, I died for unworthy people. And so with that said, if you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're able to say, I come before you. And that's what's so powerful about this opportunity to come before him. No matter what we have done, no matter how you've missed it, no matter where you're at in your walk with God, God is there with open arms, saying, calling you by name and saying, come, come to me, don't have to worry about a thing. Because why? I resurrected. Your sins are forgiven. See, it's not just, he didn't resurrect to only to prove to the world that, no, you know, that he's able to leave the tomb and raise from the dead and based on, and roll, have the stone rolled away and say, oh, okay, I was able to do that. But it was also a fact right there, or evidence that he was raised from the dead, that our sins are forgiven. And when you know that your sins are forgiven, well, guess what? Healing comes. And so, because that's what Jesus did when he ministered to people that were sick. He either said, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk. And it's so assuring to know that you're forgiven. And that Jesus went the extra mile to say, Peter, make sure Peter knows. And so I want to let you know, I want to make sure that the third dimension knows. Whoever is going through at this very moment, maybe you're addicted to drugs, maybe you failed in your marriage, maybe you failed in your business, maybe you failed in whatever situation you're facing, it's horrendous, it's major in your life. But guess what? Jesus is there for you. So we take this opportunity to say, Lord Jesus, thank you that you left us with this opportunity. You said, as often as you eat and drink, do this in remembrance of me. He left us with this to be able to see him tangibly right here in this element of in this representing this wafer, to say, Lord Jesus, thank you that even though I blew it, thank you that I'm forgiven. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And so I praise you and I thank you for your body, that by your stripes we are healed. You went through so much for me so that I'd be able to receive total deliverance in my life, spirit, soul, and body. And we thank you right now as we receive this bread. We do this in remembrance of you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, that by your stripes we're healed, and with your blood represented in this cup, we're redeemed. We're redeemed from the law of sin and death, eternal damnation, and we're living proof of resurrection power working in us, redeemed us from eternal damnation. Thank you so much for forgiveness of sin. We're redeemed. We're redeemed. We're blessed in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Vic. That was really, really quite touching, actually. And we've got another face on the screen. We've got Pastor Kathleen Wall. Kathleen, would you like to introduce yourself to the people? You'll have to unmute first. Unmute. Thank you.
Hi, well, yes, as Gary said, I'm Kathleen, and the sun is shining. And it just reminds me of that song we used to sing, the sun is shining, oh, happy day. And, you know, I just so glad I didn't miss communion, because I've been up since 3:30, and I just praise God that we know the man who can. I've been thinking about that chorus. You know, we can't walk on the water, and we can't make blind people see, but praise God, we know the man who can.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Thank you, Kathleen. And again, thanks to Vic for that communion. Vic talked about the revelation that God gave to Peter during that communion. And that's particularly important because, see, God shows no partiality towards any man. And if he gave Peter revelation into you know, God the Father gave Peter revelation as to who Jesus was, then it would be showing partiality if he didn't offer it to you. Because, you know, Jesus said that it is upon this revelation that I have given to Peter that I will build my church. You see, it's knowing who, it's who you say that Jesus is, that determines where you spend eternity. Because as one of the ministers on the UK Bible study last night said, I think it might have been Craddock, and he differentiated between eternal life and living forever. I can't remember, but there was a difference in terminology, and I thought it was quite good. I'm talking off the top of my head. I haven't got notes written down here. But you see, every spirit lives for eternity, but if you have received the promise of eternal life, that is living with Jesus in heaven. And so basically, it's your address. It's where you're going to spend eternity. It's not that some people don't exist because they haven't received Jesus. It's just that they're going to have a different address. And it's pretty important to, you know, eternity is a long time to spend in a place where you don't want to be. You just have to think about that for a moment. That's why I paused. Eternity is a long time to spend in a place where you don't want to be. And we need to think past this life, because it's been appointed for man to die once. And we're all going to pass from this world and end up somewhere. And, you know, like a lot of people spend all their time getting their earthly house in order. Let me tell you, it's more important to have your spiritual house in order. Amen. We're doing a Bible study this morning, and we're in the book of Hebrews. And I've got to have a look at my notes here to see exactly where we are. We're in Hebrews chapter 1, and we're going to be starting from verse 5. And I'm going to go to, because there's so few of us on the screen, I'll speak first, and then we'll go to Vic, then Carmen, and then Kathleen. So I'm going to read verse 5 first, so I'll share screen. Hopefully I've got it up on the right. Yeah, I have. I've got it up on the right spot, so... now, Gloria usually reads from the New King James Version. Whoops. Oh, what's going on here? Let me click somewhere else. Okay. So I might stick with that. Reading from the New King James Version, and I will read Hebrews 1, verse 5. And I might read right down to 14, because these are... you know, you've got to read things in context, and the context of this Hebrews chapter 1 is to position Jesus. We've already done Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1, 2, 3 and 4, and that is to position, because there's a lot of talk in Hebrews chapter 1 about angels, and I believe that the author of Hebrews is really, really concerned, because yes, this is, the Hebrews is written for us, but you've got to remember that the book of Hebrews was written to the Jewish believers, the Hebrews. You can pick that up from the title. Now, at that time when this book was being written, there was a these believers were tending to use angels as mediators, and this is basically the author here is bringing a correction, and the way he's done it, I know we don't see that today, because this correction that is here in chapter 1 and in chapter 2 has been done very, very effectively, but we really need to get a good handle on it. Why is he making so much emphasis on where the positioning of things, that it's God, Jesus, man, and then angels. That's the order that we see things here. Where some people might think that angels are above man, and angels, if they've got a wrong interpretation of this, might be even positioned above Jesus. But that is really being strongly, very strongly addressed in chapter 1 and chapter 2. And when we go into chapter 2, you'll see it says the word, it starts with the word therefore. So you really need to be following along with chapter 1 to see why this word is, it says therefore. So you need to be looking at chapter 1 to see what it's there for, all right? Okay, let me just read this. Verse 5. For he has not put, right? He has not. Now, this is really, really important. For he has not put.
Excuse me, Gary, are we in chapter 1 or 2?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we're in chapter 1. I'm glad you pulled me up on that. Okay, let's go. Where are we? Hebrews 1, and we're reading from verse 5. Yeah, sorry about that. Okay. All what I said still applies. It's just that I started reading from the wrong spot. I haven't got my right-hand man here with me, Gloria. For to which of the angels did he ever say, all right, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Well, he didn't say that to any of the angels. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Okay, so he's asking a question, but it's clear that the answer is he didn't say that to any of them. For to which of the angels did he say, you are my son? He's making a point that Jesus is above the angels. Then in verse 6, he says, but when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let the angels of God worship him. Who's he talking about, the firstborn? Well, he's talking about Jesus. Let the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels ministering spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? I just want to have a look at the note here. I've got a note from Andrew Womack's commentary against this verse. Andrew Womack says, God commanded the angels to worship Jesus at his birth. That's Luke 2:13. This proves that Jesus is superior to the angels. They would not worship an equal, but a greater. Yeah. And that's my understanding of it too. Verse 8, but to the Son, so God is speaking to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, so he's referring to Jesus, the Son of God, is forever and ever. So this is God, but to the Son, God the Father says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, so this is God the Father speaking here, therefore, God, your God, in other words, therefore, Jesus, God the Father has anointed you, Jesus, with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And verse 10, your Lord, and you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth. See, Jesus is the creator, right? Or the word, in other words, Jesus is the word made flesh, and the word is the creator, right? You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not fail. And he goes on to say, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Well, the answer to that is, to none of the angels did he ever say that. He said it to Jesus and Jesus alone. Verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits? He's talking about the angels here. Are they, the angels, not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Those who will inherit salvation, that's us. So the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister, not to, but for those who will inherit salvation. That's us, folks, all right? God knows the end from the beginning. In his foreknowledge, he knows who will inherit salvation, who will receive Jesus, and that's us. Amen. So I'll stop the screen share there, and we will go to Vic for comments, please. Vic.
Well, you know, the author of Hebrews is making it clear that Jesus is supreme, that he is the Son of the Most High God. Out of God came Jesus Christ, if you will, when he was conceived in Mary, and thus when he was in the earth, he became a man so that he could take back the authority that the enemy stole away from Adam. And so that's the reason why that it's this, the author is making it clear, because of the fact the Hebrew Christians were being infiltrated by Judaizers that were trying to persuade them that he was a teacher and he was good and all like that, but you still have to do this in order for you to receive salvation or have right standing with God. And so whatever they tried to persuade them to do, that's what they were there to try and force them, as we'll know in the next chapter about drifting away. They're trying to do it little by little, and they try and persuade them that, you know, you're receiving a false doctrine. But this author is making it clear, he is God, 100%. Jesus Christ is Lord. And, you know, on that 13th verse, I don't want to take too long because there's a lot in this. This whole chapter is just so powerful because, you know, it says that the Jews were fixed on angels. They were accustomed to hearing about angels because of the fact in the Old Testament how angels were appeared and brought messages and so on. And so you hear it throughout the Old Testament, and so they were brought up that way. They heard it for centuries about the use that angels were to God. And but with that said, Jesus is the only one that was conceived by the Father. And that's why God the Father said, you know, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. He's the only one. Angels weren't able. They don't have flesh. They don't have blood. Jesus is the only one that has flesh and blood. And his blood was drained on the cross, if you will, on the mercy seat and all. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, the supreme position, if you will, in heaven. You know, and it's unlike, you know, I'm sure heaven was shaken, if you will, by seeing now God in the flesh sitting at the right hand of the Father. I mean, it's like, wow. And then all of the angels, the hosts, the heavenly hosts, bowing to him, worshiping him. Mm-hmm. And it says in the 13th verse, where it says, you mentioned it, It says, but to which the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering? But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand? Jesus is sitting at the right hand. In other words, that position of sitting is rest. He finished the work. He fulfilled everything that he was for redemption. So they redeem man, bring him back to the position that they once had when Adam was first created. And so the angels, though, are not sitting. They're out there working. Their job is to go out and do things for the, you know, for us now, if you will. And so I thank God that Jesus is such a wonderful Savior that we have a relationship with. We're able to talk with him and question and answer session with him and say, Lord, help me in this situation. I don't understand. Show me the way. Whereas we didn't have that ability before. We are so blessed to have that opportunity as believers in Christ Jesus to come before his throne without the sense of any guilt or any shame, boldly. Amen. And so that is so awesome to be able to experience a living God that sits at the right hand of God, and the authority that he's given is given to us also.
Wow. It was good. I love that. A question and answer session with Jesus. Love it. Love it. And guess where the answers are? In the answer book. Amen. In the answer book. And Kathleen's holding it high. Over to you, please, Carmen.
Yes, that was awesome. Yeah. There's not no problem. It's just a lack of wisdom and a lack of asking God. But anyway, I want to read verse 5, and it says, for God never said to any angel, you are my son, and today I have given you the honor that goes with the name. I want to, in my Bible on the side, it says Revelation 1:5. So I want to read Revelation 1:5. And Revelation 1:5 says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of kings of the earth, unto him that loves us was and washed us from our sin in his own blood. The angels couldn't do that. The angels could not wash us, you know, no way at all. And Jesus had the sinless blood. And he was the perfect sacrifice. And I want to read this from my notes that I read. It said, Jesus conquered death, arose from the grave. He was the first to rise from the dead into a glorious everlasting body. As such, he is referred as the firstborn from the dead. He resurrected, his resurrection guarantee the resurrection of believers as us, those that are saved, that are born again. And the scripture is 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 28, Philippians 3, 11 and 1, and 1 Thessalonians 4, 4 and 16. The angels could not save us, no matter how powerful they are. And the angels were created. Jesus was born of God, of the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, a virgin lady, a virgin woman, and she was impregnated with the seed of the Word of God. And he was born as a human being like us, but yet fully God. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. That powerful. Thanks, Carmen. Over to you, please, Kathleen, and you'll have to unmute.
Well, I'll just read it from the New Living Translation, because the Son is better than the angels. So I'll read what Gary read in the New King James, 5-14 in the New Living Translation. For God never said to any angel what he said to Jesus. You are my son. Today I become your father. God also said, I will be his father and he will be my son. And when he brought his supreme son into the world, God said, let all the angels worship him. Regarding the angels, he says, he sends his angels like the winds, his servants like flames of fire. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, endures forever. Now notice that the Father is actually calling the Son God.
Mm.
Because he's making the Son equal to himself. Because he's a triune being. That's where we get the word Trinity from. Because he was flesh and blood, but he was also spirit, soul, and body as the Father.
Mm.
He was manifest, he was God manifest in the flesh.
Mm.
And here he's saying, but to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, endures forever. You rule with the scepter of justice. You love justice and hate evil. Therefore, O God, your God has anointed you.
Mm.
God the Father anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. See, God himself anointed him and poured out the oil of joy on you more than anyone else. He also says to the Son, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth. Now, that was the point that Gary brought out. Because Jesus and the Word are one. And you made the heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you remain forever. They will wear out like old clothes. You will fold them up like a cloak. You will discard them like old clothing. But you're always the same, and you will live forever. And that was a point Vic was making before, that Jesus doesn't change, he's the same. But I do like verse 13, and God never said to any of his angels, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for the people who will inherit salvation. See, there are carers. And they only hearken to the word. Now, Gary was bringing a point out before, but you know, Hebrews is just as much for us as it was for the Jews, because I know people today that actually do worship angels. There are certain, I call them cults, that they're looking for the manifestation of angels, but the angels are the ministering spirits. They're sent to us because we are the heirs of salvation, and they are the servants to care for us. But they will only listen and hearken while our speech is in line with the word. And that's why it's so important for us to have these Bible studies, so important for us to know and rightly divide the word of truth, the point that Gary's always bringing out. We have to rightly divide the word of truth. And in, you see, in verse 14 there he says, I will be the father to him, he will be the son. And again, when he brought his firstborn into the world, let all my angels bow down before him in worship. And about the angels, he said, I will make my angels swift winds and my ministers fiery flames. And about his son, he called him God, saying, your throne, O God, endures forever, and you will rule your kingdom with justice and righteousness. Jesus and the Father are one and the same.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Kathleen. Well, how good is that, huh? We've got fantastic ministers on the screen today. Well, we have every week. We've got a variety of people ministering to you guys out there in the third dimension of the highest caliber. Well, let's go to the Bible again, and I'm going to share screen. Now, before we go over to chapter 2, because we're just about to go into chapter 2, which starts with the word therefore. Now, Tom, who's one of the ministers in our UK Bible study, has really impressed me with the fact that when it says therefore, I need to make sure we know what it's there for. So let's just quickly read through these last few verses and then we'll go straight over. Well, let's just start with verse 10. You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hand. They will perish, but you remain, and they will grow old like a garment. Like a cloak, you will fold them up, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not fade. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? And they... are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Now let's quickly skip across to Hebrews 2. And I'm going to just get into Hebrews 2, verse 1. And I will just continue reading. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Lest we drift away. Well, let's read this over here in the King James Version. This is the King James Version. This particular one that I've got, it's also got the Strong's attached to it. It says here, therefore we ought to live or to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. That's the things in chapter one that we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Let them slip. Over here it says, lest we drift away. When we get over into chapter 4, I can tell you this because we're in chapter 4 with the UK Bible study, it tells us that this, how can you let them drift away? How can you let them slip? Through unbelief. It tells us that over in chapter 4. We need to apply ourselves to the Word of God. When it says here, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed. Heed, that means applying yourself to the things which we have heard. Where did we hear them? From the word of God. Lest at any time we should let them slip. How do you let them slip? Through unbelief. Over to you, please, Vic.
Yes, in the first chapter, it's it's describing Jesus's deity, his supreme position as son. And so chapter two then brings it kind of like what I mentioned last week. Hebrews is defined as people crossing over. And but I, when I was continuing on, as I was bringing that point forth, I was saying passing over, but basically it's people that have crossed over. And so the thing is that everything in the Old Testament was is symbols or types and shadows of Jesus Christ, the substance of those things that are described in the Old Testament. And so now we no longer have to be looking at the types and shadows. Jesus fulfilled that in his body and resurrection and sitting at the right hand of the Father. That's his he's deity, 100% God. He's son of the Most High God. He's Yahweh. And so with that said, it says that it says, therefore, is meaning don't forget that Jesus is supreme. Remember what I said in the first chapter. He is supreme. Don't let that slip away. Why? It's because you can't go over here and just pin Jesus's name with other names that are so-called intellectuals and philosophers and so on. Jesus is above all of the wisdom of man. He's above the angels. He's above everything that we think that we have so much wisdom in it, and yet it looks like we're kind of dumb. But because Jesus is supreme, we can't let that take over our thinking and say, well, you know, yeah, he's just the man upstairs. Oh, yeah, he's a good teacher. Yeah, he did this and that. And don't have that relationship with him and understand who he truly is. And this is what the person at Penn, this is telling us. Don't let it slip away. Don't get careless with it. What you've received is powerful because it says that the law of Moses was good. But just think, it says that if you took that seriously, why don't you take what Jesus has done just as much more seriously? Don't let it slip away. Don't let your heart just wander over into the things that are totally anti-Christ or totally, you know, then you and losing interest and say, well, you know, yeah, he did that 2000 year. Well, who am I, you know, and having excuses to say why. And then you wind up with all these problems and you have the messed up marriage and this and that. And then you say, okay, well, God fix it. And then thinking that he's just a magic wand. No, you have a relationship with him. You got to understand that the gospel is serious business because Jesus laid down his life. It was serious business what he did. He didn't go over there and just take a little lashing here. You know, I pricked my foot the other day on a screw, and it was terrible. And it went in deep. And so then I would say, my gosh, and I thought right away about what Jesus went through on the cross, not only on the cross, but scourged, unrecognizable for us. So I take it seriously. I don't let anything else get in the way of my, I try to always focus, like when we receive communion today, focusing on what he did, what he went through for us, for man, so that we would be able to enjoy this wonderful gospel. Amen. And the salvation of Jesus Christ is not about self-improvement. At all. It's not about trying to do everything and thinking that he's a life coach or something. He's life. He is the redeemer of life, but we don't have to call him like we do on the earth, a life coach or trying to be in the self-improvement program. No, the program was that Jesus died on the cross, resurrected from the dead, and seated at the right hand of the Father, and depend on him and believe in his finished work, and it's settled right there. I'll leave it alone.
Amen. I like the way you finished that. That was good. Yeah, it's all smiling there, Vic. Over to you, please, Carmen.
Well, I just That's good. I love it.
And me too.
Verse 2:1, it says, so we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from them. You know, that's why there's a lot of people messed up. That's why they have a lot of religion out there, like Pastor Kathleen was talking about, worshiping angels. I have seen some of those programs, and I just like, hey, you know what? If you don't know the word, anybody can fool you. Mm-hmm. Like Brother Hagin said, don't be like a little bird, you know, with your beak up and whatever the bird puts in your mouth, you eat. No, you got to eat the word of God for yourself. And it says you must listen. So that means you got to listen to the word. You got to read the word. And it says, because, you know, it says, so we must listen very carefully. It tells us too, we got to pay attention. You can't have the word on and have something else going on your ear, listening to something else. And, you know, like, sometimes it's sorry to say, you know, you go to church and you have your phone and the pastor's over there preaching his little heart out, and there you are with your phone playing a game or doing something else. You're not giving honoring to the word of God. Thank God for his grace that he doesn't strike us, you know, but listen to the word of God. Put that phone down. Like one of the pastors says, take the book to church, because he says, if you take your phone and you look up the word, and then if somebody ding you for a message, guess what? You're going to find out who messaged you. No, you must listen, and you got to read the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, thanks, Carmen. Over to you, please, Kathleen, and you'll have to unmute.
Well, it's like what Carmen was just saying, because there are people today that worship angels. And I was just thinking about the scripture there. I think it's in Colossians 2:18. I haven't been able to look it up. And it warns people about, you know, the worshipping of angels, because you know, all, and crystals and things. But praise the Lord, we know the truth, and that's what sets us free. Now, in that, actually, these few verses here in chapter 2, it's just a warning about drifting away. You know, because we can drift away from the truth. And a lot of these people that do drift away from the truth and get into the philosophies and the motivational speaking and worshipping of angels is because they've drifted away from the word of truth. They've drifted away from what they heard in the beginning. And you know, this is why it's so important to read the word, because as we were saying earlier, the angels listen to the word. They hearken to the word. And so they're there, they're standing there waiting for you to give them instructions. And it says in the New Living Translation of chapter 2, verse 1 of Hebrews, so we must listen carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. The message God delivered through angels has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. I don't know whether you didn't go into verse 2, did you, Gary?
No, I didn't.
No, sorry.
That's all right.
So we have to be very careful that we do not drift away from the word. And we have to be very careful that we don't get led astray. In other words, stay on track.
Amen.
Stay on track. And that's why he said, fail not to assemble yourselves together, because when we're fellowshipping together and we're hearing the word together, we can watch for one another. Another place it tells us to watch for one another so that we won't go astray. And that's what I see, because there are a lot of warnings, like Keith was saying a few weeks back. There are warnings because the Bible warns us of false teachers. And that's how these people get into worshiping angels. I know even believers, and they've gone back. They've gone backwards, not forwards. And it's very disheartening, because all we can do is just pray for him, because the Father has given us, because Jesus and the Father are one. So now he's given us the very life of God within us. We have that very life. He's granted us the same life-giving power that he gave to his son. Now he's given that to us. He's anointed us. He's appointed us so that we can now be witnesses for him, just as Jesus was. And Jesus was given all authority. He was given all authority to judge everyone, because he is the Son of Man, and we've been given the same life-giving power. That's what Romans 8:2 is all about, because it's the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit residing within us that gives us the power to overcome. And he's given us the power that keeps us free from sin and death. You see, Jesus conquered it all.
Amen.
He conquered it all. And you know, Gary, when we were going through there, and it says, he's now seated at the right hand of the Father. Well, that's his ministry. That's his ministry. His ministry now is to sit there and intercede for us.
Amen.
Because he's made us a joint heir with him, just as he's a joint heir with the Father. And one with the Father. Now we're one with him, and we're an actual joint heir with Jesus Christ, Son of the living God.
Amen.
It's just so awesome. And so I'm just, we do have to identify with false teachers. How do I identify with a false teacher? When somebody's teaching, are they magnifying Jesus Christ, the anointed one? Are they preaching righteousness, holiness, forgiveness, heaven, the power of God unto salvation? Because you see, the unregenerate man has no affinity with the gospel. And God will never change his moral law. The word of God, it's divine revelation. And that divine revelation is the illumination of his word.
Amen.
To us. Because we are a spirit, as Gary said many times, we are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. But my spirit man has eyes, my spirit man has ears, My spirit man has a mouth. It speaks. And I have to be attentive to listen to what my spirit is saying to me. Because he showed me something very profound that they, in that Romans 8:2, that very life-giving spirit of Christ Jesus is now residing in me to quicken this mortal body, not when I've gone up and away and present with the Lord. He's quickening my mortal body, this flesh. He's quickening it so that I can be alive unto him now. I have eternal life now. I don't have to wait till I die. I have it now. It's mine and I take it. I believe it. I speak it. Because faith has to be in two places, in your heart and in your mouth. And that is the word of faith that we preach. I'll leave it there, Gary.
Thanks, Kathleen. Wow, that's so good. I'm just sharing screen. Kathleen quoted the scripture, but I just want you guys out there in the third dimension to be able to read it. And the scripture is Colossians 2, verse 18. And I'm going to read it from the King James Version. Sorry, the New King James Version, verse 18. Let no one cheat you. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and the worshipping of angels. That's what Kathleen was talking about.
Yes.
It's going to cheat you. It's going to rob you. Yeah. What more can you say? It's all there, isn't it? Right in front of our face. One thing that Vic and Carmen brought out. There's Vic and Carmen back again. One thing, I think it was Vic that said this, he just in passing, he talked about people who refer to God as being the man upstairs or the big fella upstairs. Look, if I've got a pet hate, that's it, Vic. It's like, wow. You know, that you were supposed, those people acknowledge that there is God, but there's no reverential fear of God there. You know, it's just like, that just should not be. You know, we were talking last night on the Bible study night, Pastor Keith pointed out that there's people who believe in God, but they don't know God. It's people who believe in God because, as Kathleen just said, you know, salvation is in two places. It's in your heart and out of your mouth. You see, you might have a believing heart. You believe that there is a God, the big fellow upstairs. So you believe there is a God. You know there's a God. But have you confessed him out of your mouth? Because Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, well, 9 says that if you will confess, this is an audible speaking out of your mouth. If you will confess the Lord Jesus, not the Savior Jesus, the Lord Jesus, if you will confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Amen. I want to go there because I want to read those verses to make sure I haven't missaid anything. Let's just go to Romans. I'm going to share screen. I'm going to go to the book of Romans, chapter 10, and we'll start from verse 8. Verse 8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your hearts. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What's that word mean? Well, it means that you'll receive eternal life. That's what it means. And it goes on to explain what's just happened. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness or right standing with God. So you're in the right position if you believe. If you believe, then you're in the right position to receive salvation. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So I invite you out there in the third dimension, would you like to receive Jesus and receive eternal life? Then it's as simple as this. God has made it so simple for you to receive salvation. There's only two requirements. We've just read them. One is to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and the other is to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So just say this prayer with me based on that verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. God, I've heard about Jesus. I've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I've made a decision to call Jesus my Lord. I've made a decision to give Jesus lordship over my life. I believe in my heart that you, God, raised Jesus from the dead. I thank you for your promise of eternal life, which I now receive in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer for the first time today, then you've just started your Christian walk. You have right now, not when you get to the pearly gates, right now, you have received eternal life and you need information. That information is provided by the Word of God, and the revelation comes by the Holy Spirit. You don't just need the information. The information first through reading the Word of God. So if you don't already have a Bible, slip out and buy a Bible. Good one is the New King James Version of the Bible. It's not the only one, but it is a good one, the New King James Version of the Bible. Start reading in the book of John. Read the Gospels. And read the New Testament before you delve into the Old Testament. And I'll give you my email address. It's gfcd.sozo@gmail.com. I'll repeat that again. gfcd.sozo@gmail.com. And send us an email and we'll put you in touch with our minister in your local neck of the woods. Thank you very much to the ministers on the screen. I'm going to go out and join my wife out there. We're on a 25-acre property down here in Dubbo, and we're going to do some family stuff this morning. So we'll say goodbye. And for you guys that are watching out there in the third dimension, yes, yeah, we love you. And we'll be back this time. So this time next week with another GFCD USA 3D Bible study. God bless. I love you. Bye for now.